Hi there. My name is Kat Jovi, and I am a coach and thought partner who works with entrepreneurs. And I am so excited to share a conversation with Pearl today.
Hey, everybody. This is Pearl Sharonza. I am so excited to have you guys on for another episode of Conversations with Pearl. And I am excited today because we're going to talk all things self-care. And today we have an amazing guest to join us. Her name is Kat Jovi, and Kat is a thought partner and coach who specializes in empowering executives and leaders to master their mindset for effective communication, productivity, and build those authentic relationships. And we're going to dive in today, too, about Kat's story about what led her down this journey, how self-care played into it, and then also some revelations she got through with COVID. So I'm excited to have you on today, Kat. So excited to share this whole conversation, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. So excited to be here. I loved chatting with you before. I know we'll have a delightful time this time too.
Yay. So I was reading, we talked before and reading a little bit about what the revolution you had through COVID. Walk us through what brought you on this journey, and what about losing your job helped you to identify this path you're on today?
Sure. Yeah. So I am one of those people who didn't really know what I wanted to do when I was younger. You know, some people feel very strongly, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a vet, whatever it is. It was always in flux for me. And I think a lot of other people feel like that too. And I always wanted to find my thing. And, just kept trying different things on for size. And during COVID, I lost my job for 6 months. And so had lots of time to figure out, who am I? What fulfills me? Why am I here? All those sort of big questions. And, I just really wanted something that was fulfilling. And I realized during COVID that I identified as my job as opposed to Kat Jovi. And so it involved me really digging into it. But through a coach, some life coaching, and, journaling and all the good things, I ended up realizing that the main through line throughout everything that I've worked in is always helping others, helping them to excel, helping them to get to wherever they're trying to go faster. And so coaching felt like it really ticked that box very well. And the idea of working one-on-one with other people, and I find humans fascinating. I love psychology. So it all just really lined up. But I was working, I think, in film and TV at that point. And so the transition to coaching was a little odd. So I've just slowly but surely, every job I've had over the last, let's say, 4 or 5 years, gosh, how long has it been since the first lockdown? It's all been moving in that direction to now, coaching. So I'm so delighted by it.
Well, I can totally relate to the whole, identifying as our titles. That's a lot of my story too. Like, we identified as, the mom, the employee, that profession that we held. And at some point, whether it's something like COVID that comes along, or just something pivotal that happens in our lives that gives us that revelation, like, I'm more than just this title. I'm more than just this job. I'm more than a mom. I'm more than, the PTA volunteer that I show up to be, right? We're more than that. And if you're listening to us, you are more than what you're walking into your job every day, even your business. You're more than just what you do as an entrepreneur. You are an amazing person who is meant to do amazing things. And we have to do that work to find that. And I love that you're honest with that story of, how you identified as your job, and that you had to do that self-reflection to really understand what inside was truly giving you that purpose, and, and find that joy within towards that fulfillment. And I remember too, I know you and I've talked about this before, and I've talked on the show many times, that I call myself an overcoming people pleasing addict. Like, that's what I did. You wanted me to help you, put your socks away. I would do that. I might have even gone over and helped you maybe clean up your dog yard, but anything like that, because I was so afraid that if I said no, that, that you wouldn't like me, or I would feel guilty, or, that you might think I'm selfish. And those are thoughts that, that judge and those saboteurs that show up in our mind that tell us that, I was talking with somebody yesterday, she goes, that's that bully in our head. I'm like, oh, I like how she called it that, that bully in our head tell us all those things. And learning how to use and get both sides of our brains to working together to say, listen, it's okay to have those thoughts, but let's not let the thoughts bring us down the rabbit hole, right? So here are some things that we can do to do that. And so what I would like to do is let's delve in more with that. Is how did you start, like I did, like when you look back on your life, like for me, I can look back and the more I've done the work and even recently, like doing more work with, we're at one point, we're going to move my mom here and all that kind of fell apart and some really eye-opening things happened with that process. I realized that at a young age is when my people-pleasing actually was showing up. Like I was set up to be a people-pleaser by my parents, and not intentionally. They didn't set out to do that. There's nothing, you know, they did on purpose, but the circumstances that I grew up in is what led me down to this path of, you know, this people pleasing. And so I doing that work and I realized I'm like, okay, that's where it showed up. That's sort of why it showed up. And I can make the changes, which for me, like taking a rock and I learned how to learn how to say no to others. So I literally took a rock and I made a commitment to move this rock 3 times a day to say no to something. So that if I said yes, I was truly showing up as what I was meant to show up as, right? And so for so that leads me to my question for you, Kat, like where was the pivotal moment? Yes, during COVID, it showed up. But can you look back on life and say, like I did, like, was there a time in your life you can look back doing that inner child work, as we call it, that you could say, you know what, some of that showed up because of my circumstances. And again, it doesn't mean anything against our wonderful parents, just that that was the circumstances. And then what was a pivotal moment, you know, through COVID, everything that you were like, I have to do something. And what like pushed you to do that? So walk us through that journey if you can.
Sure, sure. And I completely know what you mean when you say the people pleasing, recovering people pleaser here as well. And it's so true. Those things really are, whether your parents mean them to happen or not, they really do happen when you're younger. You know, for me, it was, you know, my sister was a bit of a tricky child. And for me, I was like, well, I don't want to be like that. I guess I'll be perfect instead, or try to be. So I get that. Yeah. So when did it show up? Is that the people pleasing or the sort of my thing, as I call it?
Well, people pleasing your thing. Like where did, like, because there's things that we realize when we look back are like, oh, when I was younger, I did do that, or, you know, so show us, like, share with us where some of that might have showed up for you.
Yeah. I mean, I think when I was younger, I was actually bullied for a few years. And I think that really, you know, obviously I wouldn't want to relive it again, but it really made me who I am. It made me more empathetic. It made me better able to analyze situations and people. And it then, I think, makes me more likely to want to help others, because anytime I've seen anything even remotely like that, like my knee-jerk reaction is to step in, because I wouldn't want anyone else to feel how I had to feel when I was in, you know, grade six. And so I think that's always been there. And that when I was little, I was very shy, which a lot of my friends now are shocked by. I was scared of strangers. I was just super quiet and shy. You too. But the older I've gotten, it's almost like my defense mechanism for me feeling uncomfortable was, well, maybe I can make other people feel comfortable. I can focus on that, like become other-centered instead of, I feel nervous, I feel anxious. How can I make this person feel more comfortable in this moment? And then it sort of takes that weight off of your shoulders of having to be amazing and just like make them have an amazing time. And so I think over time, you know, that's happened more and more. And then with the sort of figuring out my thing, part of me, it through travel, oddly, I found that really came to existence. Because when you meet people, they always ask, what do you do? And as I had changed jobs throughout my late 20s, you know, I was like, I have to tell them what I do. But like, that's not who I am. That's not me. It's just a thing I do. And then COVID happened and it really crystallized that that's just a thing I do for money. But also the idea of having, you know, if you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life. That just sounded so beautiful. And I wanted that romanticized idea to be my day-to-day life.
Yeah, that romance of like, if you love what you do, exactly. I totally get that. And I was such a shy person as well. Growing up, I was so shy, you know, and I remember I was working for a company, a long distance telephone company. And my boss is like, you need to go take this Dale Carnegie course. I'm like, what do I want to take this course? And I knew nothing about this course, right? And part of it was because I was shy is what she felt. I wouldn't necessarily speak up for myself in some ways. But the other part of it was she didn't like how I managed my staff. So like you were saying, how do I make other people feel comfortable, right? So my staff and I, we were doing back, this is really aging me, back in the day before you could go online and make payments, we had to collect your check in the mail. We had to process your payment through the system, right? So I had a staff of 7 of us. Well, we had to have that done by the end of the, you know, the end of the month, because your bill is going to come out, right? So that last like 10 days of the month, my staff would start working overtime. And the thing was, they were salaried. They weren't hourly. So they were staying later. And so I had, for me in my head, I'm like, how can I motivate them to want to be here later with me? You know? And so we had our break in the morning. We had our lunch, you know, we got an hour lunch, but I was like, I need something for the afternoon. It's going to make them be like, okay, I'm regenerized for the afternoon. So I started making them, and we were in Virginia, so we did this all year long. I started making them go for walks. If it was spring and summer, I'm like, you got to go outside. If it was winter, I made them walk. I tell them, walk up and down the stairs, try to avoid the elevator. You know, I would do things like that. And my other co-managers for other departments would see this, and they're like, my staff's not happy because your staff's walking. I'm like, okay, well, if you want to give me some of your staff for the evening, I'll let them go for walks too, right? So I was like, that's, you know, give me your staff. Maybe we don't have to do overtime. And so my boss at the time, Pam, she was like, you shouldn't be doing that. Da, 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 da. I'm like, you guys all leave. And mind you, Kat, we were in three-piece business suits. We had a dress, So I would be like in suit all day long, like 7 o'clock in the morning to like midnight at night. It's like, you know how it is after 5 o'clock, I want to be comfortable clothes, you know, all that stuff. But you never knew when the big wigs were going to come and check and see if you were working, right? So for me, that became, so I went to do this Carnegie course, and it really changed my perspective of going, okay, you should really do this course because you're saying this, this, and this about me, but I'm here for the course. I'm doing the right stuff. And by the way, yeah, let me speak up more. So I became, my voice became even greater through things, and that helped me, you know, do more. And then I went on to coach. It's funny thing was, I started coaching with Dale Carnegie, which I loved it. So I think for me today, that's what brings me through this path of coaching today, that as a young person, I wanted to be a teacher, but I never really explored that path. And then here I am later on in life, I'm like going, I am kind of teaching with this coaching that I'm doing, and, you know, paying for this whole overcoming people pleasing addict, and do, like you said, doing things that bring us joy, like doing things that, like, I want to get up and go do that every day, as opposed to going, oh my God, I'm going to walk in the office. I got to stay here till midnight tonight, 'cause I got to process payments, you know? So I love that you remind us of that. And the next piece I'd like us to go into is like talking about, like, how do you know, we don't wake up, we wake up and we like want to do that next big step, but we don't wake up and it happens like that. Right. So what were some of the things you had to put in place that led you to make those changes that you're doing today?
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's so incremental. I mean, I think any person that you see that's successful, what they're doing now, they went through that phase where they weren't successful, where they were working, I don't know, 3 jobs. Like there's, what's her name? Marie Forleo. I love her. And she worked 4 different jobs as she was trying to sort herself out and starting her YouTube channel. And now she's this wonderful thought leader. Like everything is so incremental. And as someone whose virtue is not patience, I sometimes find that difficult. However, you know, I think almost constantly, I'd say almost every day, if not certainly every week, I have to remind myself, you know, this is a marathon. It is not a sprint. So take small steps every single day, because being consistent is what is going to lead you to that success you want or to that final outcome. And if you are disciplined, then it's this constant, slow, you know, uphill improving happening, as opposed to if you, you know, are really focused for a bit and focused for a bit, it's like this flame that burns out quickly and then you're exhausted. And so for me, consistency is what is important. And because there are so many different things in order to sort of build yourself up as, let's say, an authority in the space or as a, you know, a coach that people are willing to come to, you know, get those testimonials and all that jazz. There's all these little things that you have to do each day to slowly get closer and closer to that. And it's tempting to want to rush, but if you burn yourself out, then you're not going to be able to help anyone, especially yourself.
I love that you remind us that it's a marathon, that, you know, we have to take small steps. We can't, like, it's not going to just happen overnight. We have to take those little, it's like going back when we were a kid going, okay, we need to learn to walk first, and then we'll crawl, then we can walk, and then you can learn to run, you know, so that's all little steps there, because we, you know, we want it so quickly, but sometimes, and then those of you that are thinking about going to start your own business, sometimes we think we got to go to the dash, but sometimes the first thing you need to do is like, maybe get yourself a coach that says, these are the things that you need to put in place, you know, and things, you know, those simple steps, you know, definitely your accountant stuff has to come first, but have those things in place, you know, it's so, so important.
And I know, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And there's questions to ask yourself, I think, to get you back on track. Like for me, one of the best questions that I've started asking myself over the last 2 months is, what would this look like if it was easy? So instead of just like, sometimes you think of something like, oh, this is the solution. And your first solution, like it will work, but it will make you exceptionally tired, or it's not scalable, or it's whatever it is. And right. So looking at something like, I wanted to make Instagram content 5 days a week. And like, that sounds all fine and dandy. But if I were filming that every single day, it would destroy me. Right. So I batch it. When I'm feeling inspired, I'll record like 5 videos. And I'll change my outfit and whatever. Like I think about how this repetitive task that I'm going to have to do if I want to be consistent and have people showing up, same with LinkedIn writing or whatever it is, how can this look easy? There's a book called Effortless. I forget the name of the gentleman who wrote it. Fantastic book. And it goes through a variety of things in one's life that you can look at and ask that question. How could this be easy?
Yeah, that's, I love that. I wrote that down, effortless. So if you guys are listening, I always take notes when I'm speaking to my guest, and I just loved it. And I go back and I look at my notes and I go, oh, I like what she said here. You know, and I love that, like that book, Effortless, it's so powerful. And I also like what you said about earlier, where you talked about the who, what, why, right? So who I love to work on that when I work with my clients, like, who do you want to show up in your life? Like, do you want to show up as a people pleaser? Then okay. You know, but are you really happy doing that? Like, who are you showing up today? And how do you want to show up really in your life? Like at the end of the day, if tomorrow you weren't here and only thing somebody could say, because I love coaching on self-care. That's like my jam about, you know, take time for yourself. You can still have harmony in your life while you're trying to do your job, grow a business, whatever that is for you. But I loved that. And so I always like to say, if tomorrow, the only thing they could say is what they saw you doing, how you showed up in your life. What are they going to say? Like, how are you showing up in your life? If you want to be a volunteer, great. They're going to say, you know, they show you volunteer here, there, and there. But if you really, for me, I want somebody to say what they saw me do for myself. I want you to show up and say, you saw me sit in my front porch swing, taking time for myself. You saw me do staycations here because I'm in Florida, so I can go to the beach anytime I want to.
Lucky duck.
You saw me do those things. So that's, I love to work with my clients with that. Like who are you today and who do you really want to show up in your life? Like where, and then the what, like, what do you want to accomplish in your life? What are your goals that you want to do? We're getting ready to do a glow up challenge. It's a 30-day challenge and you can start any day. So it's like, we're starting at the first of the year, but it's really 30 days. You can start anywhere in your life. It's going to be something I will do all year long, but for $27, it's less than a dollar a day. You're going to do some simple, fun things. And you might have a pillow fight with your partner or just by yourself. You know, it might be just something fun. But it's the whole point is to take at time, even if it's just 5 minutes, be like, I'm going to do something for myself today, because it can start your day and help you glow up in the rest of your day, right? So, you know, what do you want to show up? How do you want to glow up in your life? You know, and I love the who, what, and then the why. Like, why is that important to you? You know, why do you not like that today? And why do you want to be like that tomorrow? You know, I love that you remind us of that. And so, so what I want to know is when you're working with your client, so tell us, remind us again, who's your client that you're working with today? And when you're working with them, how do you help walk them through that journey of the who, what, why?
Sure. Yeah. So I mostly work with entrepreneurs or people looking to make a transition from full-time work to maybe, or, you know, maybe they have a side hustle now that they'd like to have full-time eventually, or people, other executives as well, just because I'm in that position as well. So I get the trials and tribulations. And as far as the who, what, how, I mean, it's a great way of putting it. And I think it's so important for people to think about, who do you want to be? I think we get caught up in the day-to-day and we feel so busy and there's so many things we need to do and we become our to-do lists and our jobs and all that stuff. But if you take that step back, even for, you know, 5 minutes a day, I like to do a brain dump at the beginning of the day, write down a bunch of things, see where my headspace is, emotional state I'm in, what's top of mind. But I also take that time to think of, who do I want to be today? You know, do I want to be, like, on days where I have lots of client calls, of course, I want to be someone very supportive, and really present and there for those people so I can really tune in to what they're going through. But like you said, like if you died tomorrow, you know, like how do you want people to have seen you? Like who do you want to be? And then think, am I actually being that person? Or am I just saying I want to be that person? Am I committed to being that who? Or is that just like, oh, it'd be nice if I was that who? And, you know, what are you doing each day to get towards that? And then the what side of it, trying to remember your example. Oh my gosh. It was such a good example. What did you mention when you said the what?
Like, what do you want to be remembered by? You know, like what, like, you know, what is it you want to do in your life and why do you want to do that? You know?
Right. The why. Yes, yes, yes. Well, and that's important as well. I think a lot of people forget about that why. And the why will also sustain you in being disciplined, in being to show up every, being consistent and showing up every day. If your why is strong, like if my why was just like, oh, I want to make 10K a month and like be successful. I'm not saying that's not something that I want to do. But if my why is deeper, like I really want to help people, I want to, you know, be on that rocking chair when I'm 90 thinking of all these wonderful people that I've helped. Like for me, that's fulfilling. For me, that makes me push every day. Like I think in my head, oh, you know, if I don't show up to whatever, this networking event, if I don't show up to this client call with my full presence, like what might this person miss out on? When I was younger, I used to teach dance. And I was feeling really anxious about it. I worked at an Arthur Murray and it's expensive. And this is my first time teaching dance. And I had strong imposter syndrome and was thinking, oh, who's going to pay me like $400 for, felt really weird about it. And a girlfriend stopped me and she said, but it's not just about this lesson. It's about you were introducing them to dance. How would your life be if you didn't have dance in it? What if whoever introduced you to dance did a bad job originally? How would your life be different? And I just felt like there would be this hole in my life. It's such a fulfilling thing. I love it so much. It's brought me countless hours of joy and connections with other humans. Oh my gosh, I better teach my pants off in this class.
And that's a great thing your friend helped you do that. Like think about when you were introduced to that, what about it like drove you to want to do that? And you're impacting somebody's life. It's like, you know, as a parent, if we think about like a parent, like we've got this child in front of us and we get to mold them and help them become this beautiful human. And that's why oftentimes like with my kids, like they're, you know, my youngest is 24 and my oldest passed at 25. But even we would have these conversations about how do you want to show up in your life and how do you mold, right? And so the things, like I remember one time my oldest son said, Mom, I remember you when you said this such and such to me, it sat with me the rest of my life. I was like going, ooh, you know, so it like, and it had to do with some behaviors that he was doing. I was like, wow, I'm like, you know, I never thought about it that way. When I was saying that to you, I was kind of like in this desperate mode of like trying to get through to him for something. Yeah. And I was like, I never thought about how those words could impact you the rest of your life. Now, in a little bit of a way, I feel like it did impact him the way I wanted him to be impacted.
Like, perfect.
You know, but it was like the way it was said is like, you know, but so I was like, gosh, so I always tell, he has a friend of his that has a little girl and he was going through this custody thing with the mom. And I was like, so the little girl was at our house and she reacted to something that the mom had put this Apple Watch on her, like 5 or 6, she doesn't need an Apple Watch on. It was more for tracking her, seeing what she was doing. And the way the little girl responded, like when the rang, I was like, okay, let me pull you aside. I coach on this stuff. And right now you have 2 years to change the process, the thought process that's going on in her head right now about what happens, the reaction when that rings. Because if you don't change it, every time something happens, her reaction is going to be like that. And it's going to affect the rest of her life. And I talk about that with my clients. I'm like, what we tell ourselves and when we look in the mirror every morning is going to impact the rest of your day. And I love that you do. I never thought about brain dumping at the start of the day. Like I've always done brain dumping at the end of the day. And I love to hear new thoughts on that. And then to say like, and also think about who do I want to show up today? I do that a lot. Like I've kind of changed my direction with manifestation statements.
Okay.
So I used to stand up and say, you know, I'm going to have an amazing day today. Or I might say my bank account is very abundant. Right. But
it
isn't abundant, right? So I'm like telling myself it's something that I really know it's not. So my subconscious is going, you want me to really believe that? So I've kind of, I did this, my friend Kari, she introduced me. So Kari, if you're listening, thank you very much. She introduced me to this new way of thinking about manifestation. So instead of saying my bank account is full of abundance, maybe say, what actions am I taking today to help bring up more abundance to my bank account, right? Or mm-hmm. what actions am I going to do today to help me feel more wonderful about my day, right? And right. so I love like the thought of brain dumping at the start of the day. I'm like, because, you know, we do wake up sometimes in the middle of the night with thoughts in our head. So get them out of our head instead of carrying it throughout the day with us. I love that you talked about that.
Yeah. I mean, that in the middle of the night, I'm with you. I'm one of those people. You know, I wake up around 4 a.m. and think about all the things that I can't deal with right now. And for me, like when I've been in very high stress times, moving, for instance, as someone who likes it tidy, moving is a very high stress time for me. Boxes everywhere. I ended up leaving a journal outside of my bedroom on a little table so that I could just go up, write, and I would just write until my brain had nothing else to talk about anymore.
That's amazing.
And then the brain dump in the morning, I find helpful. I do sort of, you know, morning routine stuff. And then while I have my coffee, I sit down even for 2 minutes. Everyone has 2 minutes. Like, oh, I don't have time for journaling. You have 2 minutes.
Right.
Set a timer, do it for 2 minutes and just look at what emotional state you're in. And then like your friend suggested, like, okay, well, what steps can I take today to get closer to the where I want to be with this?
Right. Yeah, it's so much fun to think of things differently. And that's why I always like to share with my clients when we're coaching. I'm like, look at things differently. I'm going to stretch your comfort zone. I'm going to, you know, they're like, oh, I like to be in my box. I'm like, can I just have 1 foot outside the box? I'm like, no, I'm too scared to give you a foot. I'm like, okay, just give me some toes. Just give me a few toes. Let's try a few things differently, like what we're going to do with the Glow Up Challenge. It's going to be so much fun and I'm going to do it right with them, right? But like, take your toes out and just give me some of your toes. So then as I show you that your toes are surviving, they haven't fallen off, you can give me the rest of the foot. And then by next week, I'm going to have the other foot out with you, right? Because sometimes we have to see things differently. Sometimes we get so comfortable with the way it's in our life. We're like, I'm scared to change, you know, make a change that we get locked in on that thought, right? And so I love that, you know, like I said, that starting the day differently is so powerful. So when you're working with your clients, I know that you, some of the things you do is you help like to teach them habits and like help them shift that mindset. What do you do with that person, you know, especially in the executive world, right? Sometimes they just get so locked in. This is how I have to be, this little robot, you know. How do you help them like step that foot out of the box and really be open to making some changes?
Great question. I mean, because the comfort zone is comfortable. That's why it's called the comfort zone. But I mean, I think the big thing that I really like to instill, especially in executives, is yes, you've made it to this place. And sure, maybe you have to be a certain way in certain situations. Fine. But having a growth mindset in every aspect of life, I think, is so important, because the growth mindset makes sure that you are constantly evolving in such a variety of ways and getting outside of your comfort zone to the point where, like, personally, I've gotten to the point where if I haven't learned something new or gone out of my comfort zone, I intentionally have to go do it. It's almost like an addiction now, but a really good addiction. I mean, if I'm going to be addicted to something, may it be getting outside of my comfort zone. But new, and like, they can start small. If it's something at work that's, you know, they're scared to make changes there, you can do it in your personal life. Like, go have a new experience, go try go roller skating, or like do something silly, have a pillow fight. Maybe you've not done that before. Like, do something a little bit strange, but that's not, you know, that's still very safe. Just try little things of change, or even it can be really small. I mean, you could brush your teeth with the other hand if you wanted to, just tiny switches just to make your body be like, oh, that's different. Oh, that's new. Like, use a different mug if you always use the same coffee mug. It can be really small. And then, of course, it can get bigger and bigger. But through those new experiences, that's when you get to find out what you're really capable of, what potential you have. That's when you get to connect with new people and find out about their perspectives and ideas. And, oh, it's just such a big, beautiful world out there. Why would you want to stay in some little box? Let's go discover things.
Yeah, I love that. It's so funny you're talking about the toothbrush. I was talking with somebody yesterday, and she was sharing the story. So if you are listening, you got to go back and watch the podcast before Kat and I as well. She was talking about a young man who she was helping. He had a tragic accident, and so she was teaching art. So he could no longer use his hands for art. He could use his left hand, but he had always been a right-hander art. Mm. And so she was talking about how she got him, his left hand still had some movement. So she was able to teach him to do the drawing with his left hand, and his drawing was almost just more powerful than a right hand drawing, right? And so I was sharing, it's funny you talk about the toothbrush. I'm like, yeah, I remember taking this course, and one of the things we had to do is we had to go home, we had to record ourselves brushing our teeth with the opposite hand we normally use. And I was like, that was so uncomfortable. And then I had to record it. I'm like, that was like the most uncomfortable thing in the world. It's like, I'm brushing with my left hand, I'm having to record in my right. I'm like, this is not comfortable at all.
This is not how I saw my morning going.
No, but it's so true. Cause like when you do things that are totally different outside the box, you know, it's so powerful because it makes your brain start a different look at things.
Yeah. And like, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, that's the other thing. I think we get in our, especially as adults, like this happens as adults. It's not in kids. Kids don't care. They do weird stuff all the time. Like as an adult, we're constantly worried. What are other people thinking? Are they judging me? Do they think I'm silly or stupid or ugly or dumb or whatever? All these horrible things. But A, most of the time, they're not thinking about you anyways. They're worried thinking about, are you thinking about them?
Right.
And B, even if they think about you, it's for a hot second and then they're back to their own inner monologue. So don't worry about it. Do it. Like wear the crazy dress. Right. Go for, like, do it. Why not? Why not?
I love that. Yeah. Cause it's just something different outside the box. It's so fun to stretch that comfort zone and really, you know, and you feel great afterwards. You know, I love always reminding everybody the story about Meghan Trainor when I think she had her first child. So she was kind of struggling and with her appearance and finding beauty within. And her therapist had suggested, I want you to stand in front of the mirror. I don't want you to have any clothes. I want you to be naked. And I really want you to just find something beautiful on yourself. And so she was sitting there going, I don't want to do that. Like she was fighting it. Like, I get it. Who wants to stand in front of the mirror and make it, you know, especially if you had a couple of kids. Right. And so she's like, she had to stand back, I think like 6 feet or so many feet away. And she said, after about the first, maybe 6 or 8 days, she was like starting to find like, oh, that wrinkle on the side of that rib cage there, that's because I had a baby, you know, or that wrinkle underneath my eyes because I was laughing. So I love life. I laugh a lot, you know? So it's like, it was so cool to like be able to find somebody like Meghan Trainor, who's my favorite singer in the world, who can find that beauty within and learn to find it, right? Like all of us, sometimes it's hard to look and find that growth, the beauty, that, you know, those things that empower us to become what I call the Shiro that we are today. And I love that you can take somebody through the journey and make them sort of like reshape their way of thinking as well. Because, you know, if we really want to have that dream life we want to have, we have to get out of the norm. We have to stretch that comfort zone, as we're calling it. And then, you know, just set some time aside to help us learn from those changes so that we can have a successful company, be more productive in life and all those things we've been talking about.
Exactly. Well, because society sets this small box that's like unrealistic for a lot of people to fit in a variety of ways, whether it be, you know, how you look, how, where you're from, whatever, like this ridiculous box. And so like, forget the box, make your own box, or like, let's just forget the box altogether. Yeah. Do your own thing. I mean, think about some of the most successful people are because they were like, I'm just going to be me and see how that goes. Like Meghan Trainor.
Right.
Like all about that bass. Oh my God.
Let me tell you that. And that's my song. Let me just say, too. I love me. That is my song. Like if somebody asks me on a stage, what song, I'm like, I love me, you know, cause that's just, we have to learn to love ourselves. And so that song is so powerful. It's such a great, great anthem song. I just think it's amazing. Yeah. And that's who she is. She's got so many other songs like that are so empowering and things like that.
Well, cause a lot of us, I think when we're younger, potentially, at least I can speak for myself. When I was younger, I wanted to meet someone and fall in love and like, they'll like fill in the gaps in me and they'll make me feel loved. Right. And it honestly, until 2 years ago, I'd say I was still like looking for fulfillment in other relationships. Like I'm a serial monogamous person, but I would jump from one relationship, be single briefly, find another one. And then 2 years ago, I was like, you know what? For a whole year, I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna do me. And it was so beautiful. Like I truly love myself. I spent time with myself. I realized I'm my best company. And like, if someone's not going to be better company than me, why am I going to go hang out with them? And just like that sense of fulfillment within yourself, like looking yourself in the mirror and being like, I love you. You're my best friend. Go crush your day.
Yeah.
Shockingly effective.
I love that you remind us of that because it's so true. I have sometimes my clients, I'll tell them, you know what? why don't you just spend some time with your, what? Spend time with myself? Oh, that like freaks them out. Like, you don't need, you know, to meet somebody, you know, you don't need to have like go from one relationship to another relationship. You know, I have some clients I've coached that they're afraid of, you know, having a relationship because how, you know, not being in a relationship because how their friends will think or how their family might think. I'm like, right. Why? You're, you know, you're an adult. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're showing up as a people pleaser when you're taking those people's concerns about how you're living your life on. I mean, when I share this story all the time, I've been with my husband almost 40 years together. We've been married almost 37. And I remember when I, back then when I was dating in my late 19, early 20s, I was like, I grew up in a military family. I watched my mom, you know, have to balance a family while my dad was off at war. And I'm like, I don't want to live that life. So when I would meet somebody, if they were in the service, I was like, I thank you so much for your service. I can't live that life. And I would have friends go, he's so cute or he's so this. I'm like, that's great. He's not for me because it's not what I want my life to be like, you know? And so I share the story that Chuck and I were living in California and they basically were closing all the bases down. He worked for the Department of Defense. And so they had said to him, we'll send you on off to offices during the week and we'll get you home on the weekends, or you can leave the government, go find another job, or you can look for something else, a transfer somewhere else. And I looked at him, I go, I'm not having weekend stuff. That's living a military life. And if we're going to have kids, that's not my life. And so he got a transfer to Virginia and that's what brought us to the East Coast. But I knew then what I wanted. Like I was clear on what those goals were for me, you know? Yeah. And I love how you shared, like you said, I want to spend time with me, because sometimes we need to spend time with ourselves and figure out who we are. And really for me, that's what I did in 2015. That's how I figured out I was this people pleaser too, because in 2015, I took a 6-week identity and destiny course, Kat. At the end, I had to give my I am statement. I still was saying I was my titles. And somebody in the course goes, you just sat through 6 weeks and you're still not saying who Pearl is. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't get this. So I literally
6 weeks and it's years of programming, right?
Right, exactly. Years of program. So I just was like, I need to figure this out. And that's when I just sort of went on this journey of figuring it out. And through the journey, and I realized I'm not alone. So sometimes you feel like you're all by yourself. So if you're listening to us and any of this resonates, you're not the first person to feel the way you feel right the second while you're hearing what we're sharing, and you won't be the last. However, you can be the person that says, I want to make a change. And how do I make that change? And that's where you work, you know, reach out to a coach, a therapist or whatever. So yeah. So what are your thoughts on that?
Make that change at any time, right? Like some people are like, oh, well, I've been doing this for so long. And it's like, so what? Like I was 35 before I was like, maybe I should be alone for a while, like whatever. Or like I was 36 before I decided like I'm going to fully commit to being a coach. Like it doesn't matter when you do it. Do it anytime you want. Harrison Ford didn't become Indiana Jones until he was like 40 or something like that. Like it's never too late. Do it whenever you need to do it. And like take that time whenever, because taking that time with yourself, like really, truly getting to know yourself is the only way then that you can actually get to know someone else as well. Right. Because if you don't know who you are and what makes you work and what doesn't work for you and all those things, then who are you showing to people that you're dating?
Right. And that's so true, because you have to know who you are in order to like, even like with what you want to do for work, you may be that person that loves to work at a McDonald's but you're working at, you know, a 9-to-5, you know, computer job and you're hating it because you're not with people that are, you know, coming in to order hamburgers from you. You know, it could be something like that. So it doesn't hurt to change as long as you're happy. It's not always about, you know, how much is in the bank account. It's like, what makes you happy? What brings you joy? What's like makes you like, I call it like we've been talking about glow up, but that radiant feeling inside to like glow up in your life. Like, what is that about that?
Yeah. And figure out what it is and then go after it with everything you have and forget what other people think. This is your life. It's not their life.
Right.
Do whatever they want. I was reading a story the other day about a woman. She used to have like a great law career and the hours were insane. She didn't like who she was working with. She didn't like the work. And so she quit. And then just because she needed some money coming in, she started being a barista at like a local coffee shop. And she's been doing it for years. She loves it. She's like, yeah, obviously like the cleaning and the mopping and whatever, that part's not fun. But like, I love making the latte art. I love chatting with people. When work is done, it's done. I'm not thinking about it later on. Like, it's very specific. It pays what I need. Like, I assume she had saved some money while she was a lawyer, but still, like, this is what she wants to do. Like, she does other stuff with her time than stress about work and work crazy hours and all that jazz. And I'm not saying don't be a lawyer, don't work crazy hours. If you love that and that's fulfilling, get it.
Right.
But, like, again, take that time with yourself to figure out what is best for you in your life. Like, maybe it's moving to Norway and having a simple job and hiking every day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly so true. It's like, what really brings you joy? And what, you know, it, like the barista story, it's like, if that's what brings you joy, go for it. You know, have a blast doing it, because it's most important. It's the most important thing. And it's also a biggest example you can give to your kids too, to be like, this is what I'm doing. I just had a conversation this morning with her name is Lanice, and she's going to be on the show, but she's here locally. And this is like what you're talking about. One of the things that I love about my retreat. So every September I do a pajama retreat. And one of my first retreats I did, Lanice was just starting her catering business. I think it was a couple of years in. And I remember I would brought in a speaker, and Cheryl Pulte Williamson, she came in, and I remember Lanice was sitting in a chair, and Lanice, Cheryl was talking to all of us, like, what is it you want? What do you want to be? Like, why are you holding yourself back from being what you want to be? Like, she was so, so impactful. And Lanice was sitting there, and Lanice was crying, and she says, I want to be the next Oprah Winfrey of catering. And she's like, well, then why aren't you? Like, what's stopping you? And like, literally, I told Lanice today, I go, you're there. Like, she's got some things coming up. I'm not going to share. That's her story to share. Sure. But she's got some things coming up. Like, I was meeting with her because we're leveling up our retreat. So we're going to try to bring in a personal chef. We've had somebody there that kind of helps manage the meals for us, but now we want to bring a chef so that nobody goes in the kitchen and helps. And the chef is taking care of everything. And just is this great presentation. Uh-huh. And so I was meeting with her because, you know, we hadn't talked in a while, and I thought she was still doing those kind of things. She's like, Pearl, I'm not doing that anymore. We're still catering, but I'm the CEO now of my catering business. I don't have to do the work anymore. I've got it running so that I have my staff, right, who are my team, that's helped me do the work. And I love that she called it team too. I love when people call it I hate the word employee. I love team. And she said, so now I'm building us for the next step. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is so cool. And I was like, you know, every time I think about you, I talk about my retreats, I talk about you. And she's like, I know. But you know, that's so important, because she knew from that retreat, she walked away with a vision, you know, of what she wanted to do. I had somebody else at the retreat who was doing some kind of esthetician work, and she realized that wasn't bringing her joy anymore. And something as simple, and I just gave a bar away. She makes soaps. So she makes little soaps that are flavorful, you know, all the fun soaps, all the foo-foo soaps and all this, you know, all these great soaps. And that's like what I'm like, this is so cool, you know? So that's why I love working with my clients, just like you, like helping my clients see what's your why and who do you want to be? Because we can get you there if you're willing to give me the foot or even just a toes at the box for right now.
Well, exactly. And like when we live right now is such a magical time, like especially living here in North America. I mean, with technology and the way things are, like you could be almost anything you want to be, really. Like way, way, way back in the day, you were born into a farming family, you were going to be a farmer, the end. Whereas now, like there's so much more potential as long as you're willing to put in the effort and the work and do the this and the that to start your own soap company, to start your own catering company, right, to be a coach and have a podcast, like whatever it is, right? Like you can do that. And also with the internet, I mean, my gosh, there are 5 gazillion YouTube videos where you can go and learn anything you want.
I love you said that. It's so funny. I was taking somebody the other day. I'm like, yeah, before Google, before we did all those things, you know, those are the things that we could do. You know, we couldn't look up Google and go check it all out. And I was telling a story about my mother-in-law. So my mother-in-law, I loved her to death. She was her and my father-in-law were the prime example of what it meant to have love from a parent. And so like right away, they just took me underneath their wing at, you know, young 19 years old, and made me feel like I was part of an amazing family. But I remember we called her Dr. Jenny, because she would get sick. She would go to her book and she'd look up all the stuff in the book, you know, and I was like, gosh, if Google was around when mom was doing that stuff, the doctor, I mean, she went to the doctor one time with my brother-in-law, John. He took her to the doctor, and I remember him, John, calling us later and saying, Yeah, the doctor asked her where she got her medical license from because she was trying to tell him all the things, right? And I was like, when we were on our cruise, I was talking with my husband. I go, could you imagine if Google was around and your mom went to the doctor? She would have walked in with the computer going, well, right here it says. She would have been showing him where it says.
Dr. Google.
It's so funny. We've come so far. You know, I just love that. Oh my gosh. I just look at time. Our time. I'm having so much fun with this conversation. It's such great conversations. You could tell it's Kat and I's jam. This is what we love to help you guys with. We love to help you see who your what your why is and how to go after it. So I want to talk about you for a little bit, Kat. So tell us like your customer journey. When somebody comes to work with you, what are some of the things that they can expect in working with you?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, with working with me, I mean, generally I always offer, you know, just a free call to find a mind shift because there's always something in your life that could use a bit of a shift. And so just, I love having conversations with people, meeting new people, seeing sort of what's top of mind for them. And if there's, you know, a place that I can add some value. And then from there, I have my 90-day Reshape Your Reality program where we work together, meeting weekly to sort of come up with strategies to help you in a variety of ways. Generally, we tend to talk about, you know, productivity and motivation because those are very important aspects. But then really weaving in that holistic approach with the mindset, you know, making sure that you're not just overwhelming yourself and being able to let go of stress. And again, kind of like we're talking about a little bit, like building that dream life, you know, navigating away from that perfectionism and the people pleasing and the procrastination and moving to a place where you can be happy now. Because that's the thing. A lot of us are, well, when I get there, when I have this, when I'm blah, I'll be happy. But be happy now. Enjoy the journey. It's all about the journey. You'll get to that goal. You're probably at the goal you wanted 10 years ago. So be happy. Like you've done so much already. So part of it also is that sort of celebrating where you've gotten to already, because so many of us forget to do that, I think.
Yeah, some of us do forget to do that. We forget to look back and go, where was I, you know, and where am I today? That's so, you know, so amazing. And that's like, you know, people ask me, I got the most beautiful card in the mail yesterday for Christmas. It's somebody I hadn't talked to in a while, you know, but we chat on social media and I still refer, her name is Mary McDermott. And so she had sent me a card and she had helped us do our when my oldest son went off to college, we did the power of attorney. So like, if you're listening to us and you have a child that's going to school that's 18 or over, or even if they become 18, you really want to do like a power of attorney for medical and financial, because if something happens to them after 18, the hospitals don't even have to give you any information. They don't have to tell you a thing. It doesn't matter. You're the parent. So we put all those things in place. So she's just been a great part of our journey. Our boys played on the same football team. We just kind of known each other. And so she sent me this most beautiful card yesterday about, I just love how you're showing up. And, you know, I know you guys have been through so much, but, you know, I just want you to know, I'm thinking about you and you're so inspiring. And it just reminded me that, you know, that it's important that we do show up because we don't know how we're impacting somebody else in this world.
You have no idea. I mean, on Instagram, you get views and different, but like, you have no idea what putting yourself out there might do, how it might help someone feel less alone. Because I think we live in a lonely world in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And where people feel like they're the only ones dealing with these things. But there are so many other adults dealing with the exact same difficulties you're dealing with. And you never know what making that video or doing that post or doing whatever it is, like how that might help someone else. And also beautiful that they sent you snail mail. Can we just talk about how it is to get snail mail? This is a surprise and delight I like to do for people. I'll write
on the
card just to be like, I appreciate you. This is why you're amazing.
Yeah, and I'm the biggest person who's, if you're listening to me, I'm so sorry. I used to do Christmas cards all the time. I just got away from it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I forget that. And it's interesting you say that too, because that was one of the things, like when our son passed last year in July, about 2 weeks after he passed, he had like not one, but two of his friends show up at our doorstep being like, hey, is Matt home? And I'm like, they don't know. Right. And to have that conversation, it was like having the conversation to help comfort them, you know, while we're still grieving and that whole process. And I started realizing that, and it was like 2 weeks after that. So the whole month of like August and September, I would get these like messages. So somehow or another, my son's phone got, his number got merged onto my phone. We don't know. I just believe it's a God thing. So I would get these random messages like, hey, how are you? I haven't talked to you. I'm like, oh, and I was like, I don't know the number. So I would say, hey, my phone's been messed up. Who are you trying to reach, Pearl or Matt? You know, because I was like, I knew my phone was mine. And they'd be like, Matt. And I'm like, oh, I gotta let you know. So we decided that every July going forward, we created this make the call for Matt, right? So oftentimes we text, you know, we don't send mail, we don't any of that. So I might pick up the phone and physically hear the voice and just say, hey, Kat, I was thinking about you today. How are you? You know, and even if it's something like you haven't been talking because of something's happening or anything like that. I mean, I'm not saying bring somebody to talk to me in your life that brought you trauma, but I'm saying that person that if you hear me talk about this right now, you're thinking of somebody. Pick up the phone and call. And it's not just for July. I mean, Matt's birthday was in July and he passed in July. That's why we chose July. But it's truly, you know, pick up that phone and call that person because it does mean a lot. Look how much it meant for me to get that snail mail. It means a lot.
It does. And these little things that aren't difficult, that don't take a lot of time, can mean so much. And I mean, just reaching out to someone at random, like there's so many people, you know, as adults, we meet a million humans in our lives. Yep. And how special is it for you to just reach out to them and just tell them something lovely, like pick up the phone, give them a call. Right. I mean, I even do that on LinkedIn sometimes. Like if someone just pops into my brain, I'll just send them a message and be like, hey, I really appreciated how you X
right.
at the company that I worked at. Like, I hope you're doing so well. I hope life is treating you so well. And that's it. I don't want right. anything. I just want to send some good vibes out in the world. And I think
it goes
a long way.
And the thing too is like, in today's world, since COVID, there's so much mental fitness and mental health going on. You just never know what you're going to do to impact that person's life and how you can change that person's life, you know? So it's really, really powerful to be able to do that. So yeah. I'm glad.
And change their day too, right? Like such small things can change someone's day. Like if someone's wearing an earring or anything at the grocery store, I'm going to compliment that earring. Like,
never
know, because people are just having this mundane going through the process and to sort of like stop it for a second to be like, hey, like, or actually ask like, how are you before
right.
you order your coffee or whatever it is, like just those little things or just a quick message to someone to say, hey, I was thinking about you. I think you're great. Hope you're having a good day.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday after I got the card, I literally texted. I'm like, oh my gosh, that card meant so much to me. Thank you so much. You know, I was like letting her know that was really a beautiful thing that you did. So it's important that we do that and make those connections. So I want to ask you I know we're getting sort of short in our time here. We got about 5 minutes left, 6 minutes left. I want to know what this Kat, I know we've talked about you do some brain dumping and some other things, but what is your favorite thing to do for self-care, Kat?
Ooh, okay. So if I had to pick one and no others were allowed, I'd say having a bath. But I make it a whole ritual. You know, like I have the candles, I have the nice smelly stuff, I put on nice music, and I leave my phone in the other room. And it's just quiet time. It's time for me just to be with my thoughts. Like it's just, I don't think I'm especially addicted to doing stuff all the time and being productive. And cordoning off, this is time just for me to be with me, I think is so important. In the winter here in Canada, it's much more conducive to having baths. So it's the season of self-care for me.
I love that. It's so funny. My youngest son, him and his fiance bought a house in May of this year and they want to do an addition because he's like, we don't have a bath. I'm like, you want to take a bath? My guy taking a bath. He goes, Mom, I love taking baths. I'm like, well, I think that's the coolest thing in the world. I'm like, I'm not going to say anything about it. I think it's really, really cool. I love that you take baths. So, but in my head, I'm going, as a kid, I fought with you to take a bath, you know? So I just
how people change.
I know. It's so fun. So tell us, Kat, how does everybody, what, first of all, two things. Tell us about your freebie, because I know you have a freebie, the ebook. Tell us about the ebook. And then also tell everybody how they can reach you.
Sure. Yeah. So my ebook is 5 ways to strengthen your network, your path to faster success. So I've actually mentioned a few of the tips throughout the podcast. So you can download that at my website, knowledgechasers.info. You can find it there and you can get in contact with me either on LinkedIn, Kat Jovi is the name, or on Instagram as well, which is just knowledge.chasers. And I'm always posting sort of ideas on reframing or exercises or questions to ask yourself on my Instagram. And then I generally post 5 times a week, at least on LinkedIn as well. Again, just other ideas to sort of think through to look at your life and take a bit of a deeper dive.
And we'll put all those in the show notes. If you're driving and you couldn't write that all down, go back and find us on YouTube. You can watch us on all the Apple podcasts, all that stuff. And it'll all be in the show notes for you, Spotify or 360 Talk Radio for Women too, which is a great women's radio station that we'll also have this on. But so we are near the end of the show. So I already formed Kat, as I try to make sure I tell everybody, we're going to do our Better Questions, Better Life cards. So Kat's going to tell me when to stop shuffling, and then we're going to see what card she comes up with. I have to tell you a funny story. Yesterday, we pre-tested it with my guest, and then I shuffled the cards. I literally like shuffled the cards like this. Uh-huh. And do you know, we pulled the same card that we had practice on. I was like, that was too funny. So, and we shuffled. So, all right. So you tell me when to stop.
And stop, please.
Ooh, shoot off at the top of the thing. Ooh, what if I were great?
What if I were great? And this is speaking about me or you?
Yeah, speaking about you. What if you were great? What would be
happening? Okay. What if I was great? I'd like to say
that. Well, let me clarify, you already are great. But what
I was like, I'd like to say I quite like my life currently. Okay. What if I was great? If I was great, I mean, it would be like the next Marie Forleo, I'd say. Having more of an impact with more people, being able to, you know, do more public speaking, maybe to larger audiences, to, again, be able to just help people, you know, get through it. Because I think there's a lot of people struggling right now. So doing a lot more public speaking and coaching. I'd love to have a course or five out there as well. And then still balancing that as I talk to all of my clients about still making sure to take that you time to, you know, have baths or whatever it is, or to find, you know, for me, finding joy in those little moments, you know, noticing a gorgeous sunset or, you know, some little thing I think is so important. And just continuing, you know, that growth journey, constantly growing both personally and professionally, and trying to bring as many people along for that ride with me.
I love that. And like we said, you already are great, but I know you're doing great things with all your clients. And I know they're all going to have those amazing things. So you are going to be exactly what you just described. Mm-hmm. And I just love that. I'm so thankful you're on with us today. I'm so excited to share your knowledge with all of our listeners and our those that watch us on YouTube. And I can't wait to see all the great things that are about to come for you. We're recording this, you guys, just before Christmas. So we're heading into the new year. So amazing things are about to happen in all of our lives. And I just want to thank you for joining us. And if you would just go follow us and like us on YouTube. But if you want more about our retreats, I want to encourage you to go to wslivingretreats.com. That's wslivingretreats.com. Grab your spot, because the end of January, our price is going up. So if you want to go, you're going to want to get in now. And I just want to leave us with a reminder that we come into this world. We are a little rough on the outside. Our oyster needs some help getting open. But as you open it, you do find your inner pearl of greatness. And I hope you go out today and you find your inner pearl of greatness. Make it an amazing day. Had to walk out.